Okay, I'm going to call the April 12th, 2018 Prudential Committee meeting to order. Could I have introductions, please?
Ray Perone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential. Any public comment? No public comment. We have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did I turn it off?
I was playing with this and I turned it off.
Takes a while to come on.
Yeah.
Blue lights on?
I think it just went off.
Now it's on.
Would you gentlemen like budgets to follow along?
Pardon me?
Would you like copies of the budgets to follow along?
Can we jump to the warrant?
Yes, sir.
We can.
To accommodate them?
Lisa just suggested that we start with the Water Department first.
Okay, that'd be great, yeah.
Okay, she puts.
There are,
Page seven. Seven.
And that,
I'll find it. We got it.
All right. Let me.
Oh.
Water Department.
Yeah.
Water Department is proposing wage increases for all staff based on the comparisons they made with other districts and towns. They're proposing a 4% increase for the superintendent, 8% for the operators, including the senior operator, and a 13, almost 14% increase for the office manager. The overtime is estimated to increase 4.9%. That may be light in view of the 8% for the operators. I did a little math, and it's not too far off, but I think it is a little understated. Notable increases on the operating line: electricity up 4%, and the consumption assessment up 16%, which is something that the is it the state requires that? And then postage up 5% for the increase in postage. There are a number of articles that the two articles that the Water Department is requesting. The larger of the two is a $470,000 article to complete the security system for the additional funding that is required. When the Water Department met earlier in this week, there was a discussion that the it was anticipated that the current spending for the water system upgrades may be underspent. And we talked about the fact that we initially left a couple of articles open under the pump category, $230,000 articles, and this was going to be used as part of the expenditures for the chemical and pump upgrades. it now appears that, according to Chris, that he will underspend the $500,000, and so we should be able to get those $230,000 released, probably not this year, but next year for sure. But still, we're looking at a $470,000 security department issue and a $60,000 truck replacement for the pickup. I redid the allocation, what's shown on your print sheet. I revised the percentage that is taxation funding rather than water rates funding. And the rate is currently 58% versus 53% last year. Obviously, the trend is up. There was discussion about a price increase. I think the comment was that you were waiting for the cost of service study before you did that. I'm thinking that my recommendation might be you consider that sooner. Would that be a possibility, Don?
Like when?
Is that on? Yeah.
It's on, yeah. When would you like to see it?
Sometime in early fiscal 18. Okay. I mean, fiscal 19.
We're looking to have the survey completed before the end of this fiscal year.
Oh, really?
Yes. And yeah, it costs. Oh. We tried to get that thing moved up as fast as possible because we really didn't want it. We wanted to get it done in this year.
Yeah, exactly.
We wanted to be able to move forward with it. So, and again, when I talked at the meeting the other night, we anticipated a rate increase like we always have.
Right.
And this would have more of a basis for it so we can say this is why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get into a percentage that was hopefully 60-40, where it would be 60% rate and 40% taxes. Mm-hmm. But then that was, you know, an arbitrary number we're picking. It depends on what the study says and how much we can pick up, we feel like we can pick up with the water rates. And it's going to be based on what this study tells us about how much a percentage of this whole system is fire-based, you know, protection, and how much is usage. So there's a couple things involved with that. But our goal is to become more independent of the tax rate as much as we possibly can be. Like I said to LeBray the other night, I mean, our budget, like all of our budgets, are a big pie. And however much comes out of the rates, whatever's left gets covered by taxes. So it's basically coming out of everyone's pocket. It's just not as equitable as if we do it correctly with a proper rate study, where someone who uses a lot of water pays more. Someone who doesn't use any doesn't pay any. It's not that many that don't have any water, but there are some. So that's going to be our goal. But if we can get that done, go ahead.
I was just going to say, even though the people who don't pay any water rates, they still need to pay for the fire protection.
Yeah, correct? That's with the taxes, yeah, though. Yeah. So that's how that works. And so our goal is to try to be more self-sufficient through our rates. It's going to be an increase, but everything we've heard through a couple of the things we've done recently or failed to do is that the people realize that we haven't had a rate increase in a long, long time. Yeah, and they said, if you need more money, raise the rates. I think we'll oblige. Is that everything you're looking for, right? So will that help if we get this done by the end of the fiscal year?
Yeah.
Even though the rate doesn't get changed, I mean, don't change it till October, we can identify the change.
Actually, when we get to establishing the actual tax rate, we would be using the revenues that you generated in 18.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to sit down and talk to you and see how that works out.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
It's a learning process.
Ray, I didn't have your copy. This copy, I have the.
Yeah, I made some changes.
But on both of them, we're charged 40% of the administrative allocation, right?
Correct.
And is that based on number of employees that the water department has versus the rest of the district, or?
It's based on my estimate of the administrative, and particularly the finance, that is involved in each department. And it's usually about 60-40. 60 fire for 40 water.
Okay, okay. Because I'm thinking administrative allocation, you know, you're dealing with X number of employees, and we have a small proportion of those employees. Anyway, you know, I didn't know how that was set.
Right.
And I added up the percentages, and we have 5 out of 23 employees, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. In that, though, in one of the copies that I had, it talks about what's included in there, and workman's comp is included in there. But if you go to the next line, there's a charge of $32,000 for workman's comp against our budget, in addition to the workman's comp that's in that administrative allocation. And I wonder if, you know, we're showing workman's comp for the water district being, you know, in two places.
That's a mistake on my part. The workers' comp is not in that line.
Okay, because the previous copy I had.
It used to be way back, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, insurance cost was charged directly to the department. Right now, it is a district expense,
right.
And I have to allocate from that. And that allocation is up on the employee OPED benefits line.
Okay.
So I allocate those insurances. The workers' comp, your property insurance, your liability insurance is in administration and is part of the administrative allocation. So I should really, to be correct, eliminate the term workers' comp cost on that employee and payroll taxes line. It's really just retirement and health insurance.
So that does come out of that administrative allocation?
Yes.
Workman's comp,
right.
Okay.
It's a misnomer that goes back, and I didn't catch the change.
You're saying that won't change that number at all?
No.
It'll be the same?
No. I did not do an exact allocation. You know, if you really wanted to get detailed, you'd do how much of the property we're covering on property insurance, what would be a reasonable allocation on liability, et cetera. I did not do that. I did
okay.
It based on what I observed, the time on spent on warrants, on payroll. And payroll is one day a week. It's a part of, but not the total picture of what we do in administration.
Well, that was kind of my follow-up. You know, depending on my previous dealings and thinking that I know and probably don't know about our jobs in the district, you know, your workman's comp, your liability and insurance would be much different than a firefighter that's at higher risk. So a couple of years ago, I was on the insurance committee and with Stan, and I mean, insurance looks at a firefighter much differently than it does.
You're a different category, yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Water,
definitely.
So the charges against them are much greater.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing that I couldn't find in terms of income, and maybe it was last year and I'm mistaken, but I couldn't find the $220,000 that we took out of the USDA grant that we spent on the Lowell property showing any place in the budget. And, you know, maybe it's there, and it's hard to, for me anyhow, to find, you know, you need to be able to go in the...
I treated the USDA grant as district income.
Okay. Okay.
Just, so. The district paid that off, the $325,000 for that property, because the grant actually didn't cover it and there were some problems with it.
Okay.
So that was paid off by the district. So we no longer owe any money, our portion of that, for that purchase.
So you're saying we didn't use that $220,000 out of USDA grant money for the property?
I'm not sure. I'd have to check with Mike, but I know that we paid it off because there was a problem. There wasn't enough money in the grant to pay off the...
There was a procedural problem with the article, and they couldn't use the USDA funds. I vaguely recall that, and we had to use district funds. We just paid it. Okay. We had to pay the bill for it. And there was a procedural problem, and we couldn't wait for the USDA funds to be there. Yeah. We had to pay the bill, so it was paid out of district funds.
And the grant was $25,000 below what we needed anyway.
Yeah. But I guess my question is, I've never clearly understood what happened to that $500,000 grant that we got from the USDA, and I thought $220,000 went to Lowell Field, and if it didn't go to Lowell Field, I guess what I'd like to see is whatever happened to $500,000.
Well, it was allocated. First of all, the way that it was accounted for, all the expenditures went into TANK. There was no distinction between what was grant and what was article money. So I had to do an allocation out of the article into the grant, since we were reporting the expenditures against that. The result is the article is slightly the article is underspent, the grant is fully spent, as it has to be, because you don't get the money until you spend it.
So we can go to a sheet someplace and say, here's $500,000 in USDA grant money and account for where that went.
Well, you get it every time you get the engineer's report. When you submit it to USDA, you have an accounting of what money they are reimbursing you for.
We did get that, like, towards all towards the end, like $20,000
for this
and that.
Yeah.
And I believe what I'm hearing,
okay,
that the money that was allocated that we agreed to spend for the tank,
mm-hmm,
you used USDA money to offset some of that, so you didn't borrow whole amount. Is that correct?
No, we fully utilize the USDA grant.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I mean. That, but well, we have $2.2 million for the tower, the tank? Yeah.
Right.
So we didn't borrow that much money. We borrowed less because money from the USDA helped it.
Well, you borrowed $2 million plus the $500,000 grant.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what funded the tank, and that article is, as I said, is underspent because of the allocation to the grant.
Okay.
So that would be returned in the normal course of things. That would be
returned
as free cash.
Free cash.
Right.
Yeah. And how much was underspent, do you think?
A couple hundred.
Okay.
Now the one thing that I have a question. You say that the cost of service study will be done by the end of the year, and all the questions that you're properly raising about cost allocation, no one's come to me and talked about what the costs are that need to be allocated.
Yeah.
We're having a meeting Friday next week today with people from the
Okay.
Yeah. And you're
all
welcome to come.
Well, they'll be able to contact you for information.
Okay, all right. I mean, they will do it, I would suspect, in a far more scientific way than I did up here. This is simply a pro forma, as we call in accounting, to illustrate a trend.
No, I see that. The final, on this page anyhow, the final question I had, and we talked about it the other night, Ray, was the $426,902 for debt servicing.
Yes.
That's mostly debt for the water tower.
Yes.
But shouldn't that be split? Because, I mean, the way we structured building that water tower was to service the needs of the fire district and the water district.
Right.
And, you know, according to specifications, we hadn't have enough capacity to service, and I don't know what the gallonage is, but
right.
two two conflagrations at the same time.
Right.
And so it seems like that would be split 50-50 or 60-40 or something, but all the debt servicing, and I know it all comes out of the same pocket, but it seems like part of that debt servicing would be, you know, with the district or with the fire district or with the fire department, not showing in water. And I...
The result of doing it that way would end up in a double dip. You include all the costs, you come down to the end, and you say, here's the percentage split. If you start splitting it up above, saying, well, we'll take some of this and put it in the fire department, take something out of the water department and put it in the fire department, you're splitting before you get down to the answer.
Yeah, well...
So you have to get down to the answer.
Yeah.
The answer says, up here, 58% on a trend, which I'm sure that the cost of service study folks will come up with a different answer than that, because they're going to go at it far more scientifically than I did.
Yeah, yeah. I'm used to federal...
As they should.
I'm used to federal budgets, you know, and there you get nailed to the wall. But that cost there brings our percentage up that we need from the district.
Right.
Whereas I don't think it would, you know, be that high if you backed out half of that or 40% of it.
I don't think in the past when we've had a capital improvement project like that, it's been designated to the specific department. We have?
The articles have been identified by department.
Okay.
But at least I've not seen anything in the records where there's been an allocation of debt costs, and et cetera. I simply did this to illustrate. I could do the same thing for the fire department, but did not choose to do that.
Okay.
I think the cost of service study was coming up, this is a way of looking at it in a rather unscientific way.
Okay.
I'll wait for your final page here, Ray, if you're going to go to the next one, you know, showing what the district needs in terms of increases or decreases. And I think the other night you said around 8%. In terms of revenue,
yes.
We need 8%. Yes. But anyway, I'll refer to questions before I confuse myself any more than that.
So I have one other question. Do you have any idea when the new cell tower is going to be online? And that's
as far as being complete, though, they're supposed to start the first week of May. They're supposed to break ground.
Okay.
And they're estimating they'll finish in June. If I remember. Yeah, I just don't have it. It's within this fiscal year.
Okay. And so that's when we'll have a revenue drop, correct?
They'll be adjusting the revenue, yes.
Okay. Has anybody else signed on to the tower?
Not yet, not that I've heard of.
Okay.
If I would think, the revenue should still be through this fiscal year because we're not on the tower until sometime in June.
Okay. Oh, they aren't going to be on the tower? Who's on the...
Right now, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile are the three that are on the tower. Definitely, you know, Verizon needs to get on the tower.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to do it unless people... This is a push. Yeah.
Well, were they on the previous tank? Would they...
No.
They've
no.
never been, I was no. going to say. I don't ever remember having
but
cell service on Putnam.
So I guess we just need to announce at the Civic Association meeting that we need people to call Verizon.
There were some comments at our meeting here. That was people wanted another tower in town so they'd get better coverage, but having Verizon would be to find a church with.
Yeah, right.
Shall we go to the top, the first page, and then?
So, is the water department concluded, or?
That's all I had to say about the water department. And
so, like I say, next Friday we'll be meeting with Kate and Howard to go over some details for the survey.
Okay.
All right, and I may talk to you before that.
Okay.
All right?
That's fine.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Don.
See you, Don. We go back to the beginning. The reserve fund is set at level 30,000 to take care of contingencies that may arise on unanticipated expense, etc. The operating budget for the finance department is reflects an increase of 2.4%. The fire department reflects an increase of 4.67%. Water, as we just discussed, is 3.74%. Public buildings are 2.2%. Library has requested, and I've included an increase of 4% for the library. And the employee benefits shows an increase of 11%. Someone had, the question had been, what is the non-payroll cost for payroll dollars? And it's 14.5%. So for every dollar that we spend on payroll, the district incurs a cost of 14.5%. The biggest part of that is county retirement. But eventually the OPED is going to, the OPED benefit cost is going to almost approximate that. Moving down, the overall appropriations are up 7.72%, and it's my estimate that that will result in a tax increase of 7.98%. That's based on level funding for the ambulance, about $184,000. Water revenue projected at $500,000 for rates, $42,000 for the ground rent, and about $10,000 for solar credits that they'll be getting on a full year basis next year. I'm using free cash for just about everything that I can and some of the things that really aren't strongly recommended, such as the OPED, the increase in the OPED contribution. But I think it is justified this year as we make the transition to a higher funding level for that, to bridge that with free cash. I had estimated the $149,000 coming from the OPED trust. That actually may be lower, and we may want it to be lower, but it would be offset by a reduction in the OPED cost itself. So those two would probably offset. But debt funding, is, as it stands now, is $705,000. That's $470,000 for the water department security system, $50,000 for the fire station roof. I think it's $30,000 for the parking lot. And then there are three vehicle purchases, which add up to $180,000. And I'm proposing that we frame the article to either use free cash or debt as we find appropriate.
Free, we have $700,000 in free cash, is that correct?
That's my estimate, yes.
Okay.
So turning to the finance, the PRUCOM, the $30,000 reserve budget I just talked about, It's level funded. The finance department, we made minor wiggles in the salary line for the treasury based on the actual person bringing on board. The increase is primarily due to added hours for her. The rate is substantially the same as the current rate, and the treasurer's rate doesn't change. So it's primarily an increase in hours from one year to the next.
So I have a question about the Prudential Committee staff. Does the $8,249, does that cover the 6 hours per week for Christine?
Yes.
It does, and plus Len here?
Plus?
Plus the maintenance custodian.
No, he's in public buildings.
Oh, okay, all right.
So who else is in Prudential Committee staff then? Is that just
Christine? That's just Christine.
Yes, okay.
Just
Christine.
Gnomes rolling around.
Hiding in the basement. Okay.
Some of the notable increases going through the department. Payroll services up. Last year it was like $200 a payroll. It's now up to $227. So I've adjusted the budget accordingly for the running rate. Mm-hmm. The legal services, I've put a placeholder at $6,000, level funding. We have used very little this year. I don't know whether you want to stay with that contingency or not. The audit fee is what I've agreed with the auditors going forward. I think it's 14, 14, 5, and 15,000 for the next 3 years. The bond transfer, I've increased that by 1,900 to catch up with the actual cost, which is about $1,300 per issue, and it looks like we'll have about 3 issues next year.
Just so you know, we weren't paying that before. That's a new expense because Cape Cod 5 was basically doing the bond issues free,
yes,
and they've stopped doing it.
The next increase is in computer expense. We have VADAR at 5,000. I've put in secure networks at 1,000. That may be 500 too high, but I thought until we get a little experience with them, I'd have a contingency. The insurance policy is projected to go up 3%. I'm only going 6%, excuse me. I'm only going up 3% because we've had savings in the policy for the past 2 years, and I think it's reasonable to recognize some of those savings. Workers' comp, however, the full 6% increase is required. Payroll taxes remain level at $40,000, and the annual report is at $1,100, subject to your review, but I believe that's a reasonable estimate. We don't have the figures yet on the restoration for Freedom Hall, but that would be another article that we would add for 19. Fire department, again, we have to go through the realization that we had a clerical error in the compilation of the F-18 budget, which understated the wages for firefighters, full-time firefighters, by $69,000. Because we have been lucky, as the chief has said, We have had no injuries so far, no substantial overtime incidents. We're able to stay within that budget despite that clerical error. However, it's reasonable to adjust for that error, obviously, and put in the right amount of contingencies for overtime and other incidents. But as you see, the department has reduced its overtime estimate by almost 5% going into next year. New this year is an EMS officer, which is required. Department has chosen to expand the duties of an individual, and so that $10,000 is a stipend payment to that individual for those added responsibilities. The in the operating department, the big changes are really due to some consolidation of IT and training expense, which aren't really increases. IT is because we're paying for an enhanced operating system for the fire department and for secure networks, for the enhanced network and backup capabilities. Legal services is the substantial headline increase. It's something that we have just had to provide for because of the running rate of legal costs that we're incurring.
So where are we now for legal costs in FYI 18?
I'm sorry, I don't have that number in my head. I might have.
That's okay. I was just.
I think I'm projecting you're going to end up at about 35. I think it's, I've got it over there, I can.
Okay, all right.
I'll let you know. You know.
I don't know the budget, but do you have a training and education for the Prudential Committee? You have a new assistant treasurer. Are they going to need, and I didn't notice it in your budget, whether there was a line item for that.
No, we don't really have a line item for training. It would be part of the IT cost.
Okay. I figured that they probably didn't know our system. You might have to.
A lot of that is really just added time. Part of the expansion of ours is that Lisa, the new assistant treasurer, will probably spend some time with Jen to understand that system. So it's really, you pay the training cost in time. In the fire department, the consolidation of training looks like it's 120% increase on the next page, but it really is not. It's actually level funded when we pull all the pieces together. The IT expense going up 22% is a real percentage increase. And that again is due to an improved operating system for the fire department and secure networks for enhanced backup and security.
So they're using the cloud, correct?
Yes.
And are you going to be using the cloud also for the Treasury Department, using the cloud also for?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Except for VADAR. VADAR we can't get on. So we'll still have to continue to use the backup system for VADAR.
Okay, and that's through VADAR.
That's due to VADAR.
No,
and
that's
the
through them. They have the VADAR
yeah,
has the backup.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. There are four articles that the fire department is requesting. Roof replacement, I'm wrong, it was $55,000. The parking lot is $40,000. And a pickup in an air tank replacement is $60,000. That's not a vehicle, that's air tank replacement. And we had a choice of simply upgrading a number of them which would probably become obsolete within 2 or 3 years, or spending $60,000 for something that should last 10 to 12 years. We opted for the longer term. And that's about it for the fire department. Any questions? If not, the water department we've talked about. Public buildings would be the next one. And in public buildings, we've provided for a 2.5% cost of living increase for the maintenance individual. And I've adjusted the electricity for the current running rate, and also the buildings, I've adjusted that, or I've left that level of funding, but it looks like our running rate will accommodate that. The only other increase is a very minor one in the alarm system, and again, that's based on current running rate. There will be articles with respect to the public buildings, but those are yet to be determined. Street lights are next. That's level funded. So there's not much to say about that. The run rate looks like it will fit within the budget for the current year. And the next is the library. Library requested 4%, and we have accommodated that request. The next point is the debt service. The $100,000 for the long term is the prior tank bond of $1.5 million, and that requires a $100,000 principal payment and $52,000 of interest. The next is the payment for the USDA $2 million loan, requires a $48,000 principal payment and a $43,000 interest payment. And as we talked about at the last meeting, and I see I didn't change that, I should have, the 179 really should be 180. We rolled that 180 out of the 346, and I would propose that we retire that fully at the end of during fiscal 19. So I will be changing that to 180. Do that now. Short-term interest on that, I estimate to be about $3,400, and we have a cost of an issuance, short-term abatements, which is a placeholder for $50. We have never had to use that, but we have historically provided that. Next is employee benefits. Health insurance, the health group decided on a 6% increase, and although we don't have all the elections in, there might be some minor adjustments in that number as if people move from one program to another, but people have been pretty consistent, so I've prepared the budget based on the fact that we will have no program changes in either health or dental programs. The retirement assessment is based on a figure that we received from the County Retirement Board, approximately 12.5% of wages. The transfer to the OPED Trust is made up of approximately $119,000 for existing retirees and approximately $255,000 contribution to the OPED liability, which is approximately $2 million. So we're attempting to retire that over the next 20 to 30 years. And then finally, I'm proposing that we transfer $25,000 out of our existing budget into our stabilization, which is our rainy day fund. And that $1,000 made the tax rate 8%. And that's approximately, when I did the math on that, the tax rate goes from about 227 to 245 before I made that last adjustment, which would mean on a $400,000 house, the tax would go up about $73.
That's a $400,000 house?
Yes.
Is that show on
it? I'm sorry? No, no, it's an editorial comment. It's not part of the budget.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay.
So, I've gotten quotes for the floor and quotes for the ceiling downstairs. Actually, I'll get one quote for the ceiling downstairs. Where it has to be a it's for a drop ceiling, mm-hmm. which has to be a commercial grade. And the quote I got was $8,100. So I think probably it's going to require a moving of a couple of the exit signs because they're going to be in the way of the ceiling.
Yeah.
So I think probably I'm going to ask for $10,000 for that project.
Yeah.
And then the floors. I've asked for two things. One, I had a bid of $25,000 just to do the floor. That didn't include removal. I've had another bid of including removal of about $38,000. So, and I have also asked but haven't gotten a second price for that floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's Homasote on that floor, which is excellent insulation material, excellent sound deadening material. It's lousy floor material. So it was suggested, you know, the price for putting maple up here is you know, astronomical because of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
The curve. So it was suggested that we put engineered floor up there.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it in maple, so it'll sort of add, but this floor, we might as well just do both of them.
Right.
So I say probably $40,000 for that.
Maybe the total, including removal. Who did you get prices from?
I got.
Just a quick question. Did anyone mention anything about the acoustics? Would the floors help, or you know, hinder, or the acoustics in this room are horrible?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean. Did they say that, you know, an engineered floor would help that? Or?
No, I didn't ask. Probably, what would help the most probably are drapes in this building.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something else for somebody to take care of. Me.
Yeah.
So I think probably $40,000 is a safe number because I didn't, you know, the numbers I've gotten aren't for the state prevailing wage numbers.
Oh.
So I think, you know.
Ouch.
Ouch, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's going to be over. I mean, hopefully the money for the downstairs will hold, but for up here, I think, you know.
I'm wondering if 45 would be more reasonable.
Whatever you think. But, yeah, you know, we're going to have to pay prevailing wage. And
if they have to pay prevailing wages, I would definitely say 45.
Okay. And the only other, it's not on the agenda, but I had a phone call, an email actually, last week from the streetlight people, Siemens, who maintains the streetlights. And apparently there's a missing streetlight on Nickerson Road. If you go down Nickerson Road, there's a curve on to Pine Ridge, mm-hmm, which I went down and visited, and there is a pole at the corner of Pine Ridge. It has two nice holes that look like it should be holding a street light.
That's good.
No street light there. And the arm's gone also. It's all gone. So.
Wait, you got no report that was damaged in storm or anything?
No, nothing. And the pole wasn't changed. Wasn't it's the same pole. And apparently it's not uncommon for street lights to disappear. I was on a conference call with about the new street lights, and I asked them because there was a missing street light in the coves. They changed the pole, mm-hmm, the new pole had the street light and the arm attached to it, and then it just disappeared. So frequently, this is a frequent occurrence. As I asked the question, like 10 people in the audience, oh yeah, we've been dealing with this forever.
Yeah, so. I'm surprised. I can see where the one in the coves was just attached to the pole, waiting to be remounted.
Yeah.
But okay.
So, who knows where it went. So, I think the replacement cost for that is around $600. Yes. I guess that's all. So I suppose it's... No, I think that's all. I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.